Book of Matthew, chapter 16. We are going to start from verse 1.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed.
Now here we see Pharisees and Sadducees coming together, and they are asking Jesus Christ a question that give us a sign from heaven. Now Sadducees and Pharisees, they are not believing the same thing. Sadducees do not believe in resurrection, and so they are not that friendly. But now here they are teaming up together to fight with Jesus and finding some faults. And so Jesus Christ gave them simple examples. You know the weather, and easily you can look at the sky and predict the weather. Why cannot you predict the signs of the times? And then he says in the verse 4, he says, Wicked, adulterous generation, seek after the sign. And he said, There shall be not sign be given unto it, but the sign of prophet Jonah. And the word of God says, And he left them and departed. Sound like he did not answer their question. But as we studied the book of Matthew chapter 12 already, you know this question was asked before. Let's read Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 45. So that's why, even though they knew the answer, Jesus Christ told them about the sign of the prophet Jonah. But these people are asking the same question again and again.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none.
So here we see Jesus Christ already gave the answer in this same book, but they are still coming and asking the questions. So Jesus Christ already said there's only one sign you will have, the prophet Jonah. And then he explained to them what the prophet Jonah's sign means in the chapter 12. So now let's read the Matthew chapter 16, verse 5.
And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Now here what happened, the disciples forgot the bread. Always they travel, sometimes they carry the bread. You remember one time, they didn't have the bread, but they found somebody. He had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus multiplied and gave it to more than 5,000. Next time they had 7 loaves and few fishes, he multiplied and gave it to 4,000. So now disciples might be thinking, well, we don't have to carry bread. Jesus Christ can do miracle all the time. So this time they did not take the bread. But Jesus Christ says, beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Disciple didn't understand what he was trying to say. Simple, common sense people will think, the Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes always come to tell us against Christ, against his teaching. So beware of that teaching. This is simply he was saying, But disciples didn't understand. Let's read the verse 7.
And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread.
They start discussing among themselves. Not like when they're talking and Jesus can hear. They might have gone a little bit further and discuss. We didn't take the bread. That's why he is trying to say this thing. Jesus knew the thoughts of the people. Whatever they're going to say, what is in their heart, because he was the Son of God and God himself. Many, many times Jesus Christ proved to people that before they could say something, they are just thinking about something, and he would say, why are you thinking something like this? So see what happens, verse 8, Matthew 16, 8.
Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?
Now they understood. I did not talk about real bread. I was talking about the Sadducees, Pharisees and Sadducees, leaven. Verse 2, Matthew 16, 12.
Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.
Now, when he asked the question, What the people are thinking about me? Then some people say he's the John the Baptist, some people say he's Elijah, some people say he's Jeremiah, some people say one of the prophets. Now, Moses prophesied about one prophet, but they did not want to see what that prophet was. Moses simply said, God is going to send a prophet just like me. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Please read from verse 15 to 18, or even up to 19.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
Moses was saying, You don't listen to me. I'm going to ask God to send a prophet just like me. And as soon as he was saying, God says, Okay, that's what you want? That's what I'll do. I will send the prophet just like you. And if they don't listen to that prophet, those people will be punished. So they are saying, Maybe one of that prophet came, so we don't know what the people are thinking about you. Different people are thinking about different things. Then Jesus Christ is asking, How about you? What you thinking? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15.
He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
See what happens here? Jesus Christ asks the question, and then Peter says, We know who you are. You are the Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means who can give his life for the mankind. And you are the Son of the living God. So he is trying to admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only that, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. And he is going to give his life for mankind. And so he got the revelation. God just used him. Just like a God used donkey to preach. this Peter was not spirit-filled man or very knowledgeable in the Bible. He was just a fisherman. But God revealed to him who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. This is just like a gift from God to explain to people. So all good gifts, all the good knowledge, all good things comes from above. So you are going to see God gives you good things, the enemy gives you bad things. We will see that later on. Let's read the verse 18.
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now here we're saying, you are Peter means you are a rock. And then somebody says, Peter is a rock, and God is going to start the church on that rock. He was not saying, I'm going to start my church on you. Jesus was saying, what you confess. You confess I'm the Son of God. You confess I'm the Messiah. You confess I'm the Christ. And that is the foundational teaching you're going to give to people. And so that is the solid things you said. And this will be the main theme of your preaching. And on this preaching, on this thought, on this doctrine, or this teaching, I am going to establish my church. And then he says, when I establish my church, the devil or the devil's followers will not have any power to go against the church. Church will be always victorious. As we learn, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the greater one lives in us. And that greater one can defeat anyone in the world, means devil or devil's any authority. So the children of God or the church is so powerful, church does not have to be afraid of enemy or the devil or the devil's tactic, because he has given us supernatural power. We have it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil trembles. You use the name of Jesus, you use the blood of Jesus, devil has no authority, no power over us. So that's why he said, devil will not prevail against you. He has no power, he has no strength. And that was the time he said, Jesus Christ was not even crucified at that time. When Jesus Christ crucified, he defeated the devil on the cross. He has no power like before. Before that, when the Daniel was praying and the devil stopped his prayer and Michael has to come and fight with that devil, and then the answer came, it took 22 days. Today, many preachers will tell you, if your prayer is not answered, they will take the Daniel's example. He says, see, the devil attacked the prayer and answer was coming, but devil did not give the answer until 22 days. That one happened today. Because Jesus Christ died, defeated the enemy. Now enemy cannot block your prayer. Because once you pray, that prayer goes direct to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, and that prayer goes to the Father. Now, we don't have to be worried like Old Testament people, our prayer will be blocked or our prayer will be hindered. Our prayer will not be hindered when you pray in the name of Jesus. Your prayer only hindered, you pray, oh God, bless me, oh God, do this, oh God, do this, amen. That prayer just go to ceiling and come down. It will not be answered. When you pray, you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's the prayer is answered. When you're finishing prayer, you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. That's the prayer answer. Some people, the TV ministers I see sometimes, they pray maybe 10 minutes and they say, praise the Lord. That prayer didn't go anywhere. When you pray, you say, in Jesus' name. Because God will not recognize anybody's prayer if that prayer doesn't come through Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for us. He rose again, and he is the one answers our prayers. Jesus Christ says, you never prayed, but now you pray in my name. And so we have to pray in Jesus' name, so the prayer will be answered. And then he said, in this rock, means the statement you gave, on that rock we will build the church. And that rock is what? Christ. Not the Peter. Christ. Teaching of Christ is solid rock. Okay, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start reading from verse 9 to 11.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
We are God's building. We are God's temple. We are God's house. So how the house of God is built? Let's read a little bit further.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
So he said, Jesus Christ is the foundation. And so if anyone, there are so many churches today, there are Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, and different people. Even the Mormon church, their name is what? Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, or so Christ Church, and all kinds of name they give. Their teaching is not founded on Christ. And so St. Paul says, I am just like a wise master builder. And I'm building on the foundation, which is the cornerstone, which is the foundation, that is Christ. And there my building, I'm building. And that building is the church. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 16, verse 19.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Now, here is the key to heaven. Now, what is the key? He says, first of all, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe the Messiah, if you believe the Son of God, and whatever you want, you ask in the name of Jesus. That's the key. If you go and pray without the name of Jesus, without believing in Jesus, prayer will not be answered. Some people say, I am just praying to God that bind this and loose that and this and that, and nothing is happening. It will not happen that way until you are founded on Christ. And your teaching is Christ's teaching, and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you use the name of Jesus, then it will work. St. Paul was casting demons and everything. And then there was a man called Shiva, he had 7 sons. And they thought, if Paul is doing it, we can do the same thing. And they start casting the devil. And Satan says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And devil jump on them, and the word of God said they were wounded and naked, ran for their life. So the point I'm making, there are so many people, they say, we can bind this and we can lose that, but it will not happen until they, using the name of Jesus and living in Christ. Okay, verse 20.
Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
Now, somebody takes this scripture, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or maybe somebody, and say, see, Jesus Christ says in the Bible, you should not be telling anybody that Jesus is the Christ. And so that's why we are not a Christ witness. We are witnesses of Jehovah. Because Jesus Christ says, don't witness about me, don't tell anybody about this. But they cannot take this one scripture and make their theory. What Jesus said, go to the Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now here is clearly he said, you should be witness of me. Tell about me to other people. And you start from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So he gave the authority to do it. But he says, wait until you receive the power, the Holy Spirit. And now, why this time he said, don't tell anybody? Because this was his final days. And so people wanted to kill him. And they didn't want Jesus Christ, Messiah, or their leader, or their king. And so he said, right now, don't tell anybody. Wait for the timing. And that's why he told them, don't tell anybody right now. Wait for the right timing. And after the day of Pentecost, let's read the book of Acts chapter 4. When the Peter and John, they did miracle, the lame man got healed, and he starts testifying, and many people start believing what Peter and John were saying, but the Pharisees didn't like. Book of Acts chapter 4, starting from verse 18.
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
See, here the same thing, this Pharisees start saying, don't talk about Jesus, don't take the name of Jesus. And if somebody would have said, hey, see, Jesus said the same thing, we should keep our mouth shut, what would happen? Christianity will be completely closed. They knew the commandment of Jesus Christ, that you have to go and tell the whole world. That's why Peter says, we should listen to you or we listen to God. You judge yourself. And so they could not say, don't listen to God. And so their mouth was shut. Go back to the Matthew chapter 16, verse 21.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day.
Now, when the Peter and other disciples came to know he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, and Messiah means anointed, and he is going to be killed. And so when they openly confess, then Jesus start teaching them what's going to happen to Messiah. What's going to happen to Jesus? He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the elders, they are going to arrest me, and they are going to kill me, and I'm going to die, they are going to bury me, and third day, I'll rise again. Now, Jesus Christ said very good things. If you would have said, they are going to kill me and bury me, then you have something to say. Well, we are not going to allow anybody to kill you. But he says, I will rise again. That's the miracle. You remember the Lazarus was sick, and his sister said, you love the Lazarus so much, so please come, he's sick. Jesus didn't come. When he didn't come, people were so angry, what kind of love he has and what kind of man he has, even though we send a message and he didn't listen to our messages, so he doesn't care about us, and all kinds of things they might have said. But Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection, I am the life. And he raised the Lazarus after 4 days. So if you would have said, okay, I'm coming and heal the Lazarus, that wouldn't be a great miracle, it wouldn't be a little miracle. But bringing the Lazarus from the grave after 4 days, that's the greatest miracle. So that's why Jesus Christ was saying, I'm going to die, they bury me, I will rise again. Okay, verse.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
Now Peter showed a lot of love for Christ. Now he said, Jesus, we love you so much. We don't want something bad happening to you. We don't want somebody killing you. This should not happen to you. So, I am just wishing this will not happen to you. And this is our desire. Jesus Christ would have said, oh, you people love me so much. I'm so uplifted. Jesus didn't say like that. A few minutes ago, Jesus Christ said, you know, Peter, what you said, I am a Son of God and I'm a Messiah, this was not revealed by the flesh, but it was revealed by God. But now see what Jesus Christ is going to say to Peter. Verse 23.
But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
See, few seconds ago, he said, God revealed something, you got a revelation, I'm going to build the church on that foundational teaching what you're saying. But now, they were thinking, Jesus Christ can defeat these enemies and establish his kingdom right now. That's what their idea was. They didn't want him to die and rise again and all of those things. They wanted him to establish kingdom right away. So they didn't understand. And another thing, Jesus Christ is saying, you know what? You're thinking so much about yourself, flesh. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want me to get hurt. And your mind is a physical. So the people sometimes think so much about their physical body. Me and me and me. What I want to eat, what I want to wear, what I want to do. Everything about me. And that is all from the enemy. The enemy gives this kind of ideas. Selfish things doesn't come from God. Selfish things comes from the enemy. Sounds good sometimes, but they bite you like a snake later on, or bring death and destruction later on. And so each and everything what Satan gives sounds good, feels good, but the later on you see destruction come to that person. Okay, verse 24.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me.
That's why Jesus Christ said, okay, Peter, you love yourself so much, I want you to deny yourself. That means don't love to your body, your life, so much. Because here we're living in this earth. How long we are going to live? Somebody will say, okay, we'll live 200 years. Now they have pills and all kinds of medicine. They say, we can live 200 years easily. Okay, after that what? After 200 years what? You cannot live here forever without God's grace or without God's power. And so, in this world, you can get any kind of good food, good rest, good doctor, everything, but one day will come and the person has to die. And so he says, don't think too much about yourself. Read the verse 25.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
So he said, you thinking about yourself, you're going to lose your life. One day will come, you will die, and you'll go to hell. But if you take your cross and follow me, that means you suffer for my sake, then you have chances to have eternal life. And at that time, I don't think they understood anything what he was saying. But Jesus Christ simply saying, don't love world, worldly thing, yourself, your mother, father, brother, sister, whoever it is. Don't love them more than God. Let's go to the St. John chapter 12, verse 25 and 26.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
See, if somebody says, but God is telling me hate myself, he's not saying hate, hate. Means don't love yourself more than God. That's what he wants to say. People are so much concerned about themselves. So here he's saying, you are looking up your life, and this life is not eternal. But if you spend your life for me, you will have eternal life. Verse 26.
If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
See here, he's saying very nicely, if you really love me, you want to serve me, you follow me. And if you follow me, then wherever I am, you will be there. That means, you will be with me all the time. If I go to heaven, you will be with me in heaven. If I come on earth, you will be on earth with me. We go back to the heaven, you will be with me. Means he will be always with his servants. And not only that, he said, then my Father also honor you. So the Father will honor you, and I will love you, and I will be with you. My Father will be with you, so you will be not alone. So once we are with Christ, we don't have to be afraid of anything. He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And here he says, if you follow me, if you serve me, then you will have eternal life, plus Father will honor you. But the suffering of this world, you cannot compare with what glory we are going to get. How many years of suffering? Maybe 20, 30, 40 years of suffering. And here the glory we get, eternal life. So that is the weight of glory more than what we're suffering is very light. And sometimes people say, you don't understand my suffering. God understands every suffering. And God will not allow anyone to suffer more than what they can suffer. He makes the way out. And so God is always there watching over us. Matthew 16:26.
For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Now here is the question. He said if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what is the profit? That means, you know that story. One person says, you run and whatever the land comes under your feet, I'll give it to you. So the person keep on running. And he says, one more foot, one more yard, one more feet. And finally he dropped dead. How much land he got? Zero. So the word of God is saying, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. What is the profit? Gain the whole world. You got a good name. You got a good company. You got hundreds of thousands of people working for you. And you have everything going good for you. You never call upon God. You never receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never went to church. You never read the Bible. You never prayed. And you die. What happens? He says you lost everything. And then he says if God starts saying, I give you the soul, that soul's value was more than a whole world. Now what did you do with my soul? Can you give the price of your soul back to me? No. We cannot pay it to God. God gave everything free, thinking that you will do something out of it. God thought from the foundation of the world, the man will do something good. But man was not able to do. So he said, now I'm going to send my son. And when they come to my son, then they will be able to do something in Christ. So without Christ, we cannot do anything. Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, this was the God's plan, that we should do some good things for God. The mankind was not able to do anything good until Christ came. And so now the Christ came, he gave his own spirit to us, he washed our sins away. Now once we receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he promised, I will bring my Father and I will stay with you, make our home, and so the devil will not come and destroy you. One time Bunky said, one story, it's not a true story, but has some meaning. He says, there was a man, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, I have a big mansion. I give you the place, go and stay upstairs. All upstairs is yours. So Jesus says, okay. And so here comes the devil, and start beating up this man. And he's crying, Jesus, come, help me, help me. Jesus didn't come. The devil went away and he went to upstairs. He said, Jesus, didn't you hear me crying and calling you to come? He said, you told me to stay upstairs. So I could not come down. You gave me the place upstairs. So he said, okay, then you can come downstairs this time. And he gave another room for him downstairs. Now the devil comes and beats him up and he starts crying again. Jesus didn't come out. And the devil left. He said, what happened? I gave you the downstairs. Now could you hear? You didn't hear me crying and asking you. He said, but you told me to stay in the room. So I could not come and help you. He got the idea. He said, Jesus, whole house is yours now. upstairs, downstairs, every room is belong to you. I have nothing now, you just be in charge. And then, okay, next day the devil comes and Jesus stands at the door. Devils run for his life. We are giving Jesus little bit room. We have to give everything what we have. What my house, my car, my money, my pocketbook, my life is, everything belong to Jesus. Then enemy cannot attack us because Jesus Christ lives in us. And so that's why he said, what profit you have if you don't have Christ in you? You're nothing. We are just no value. But when we are Christ, we are having everything. Means we are belong to God, and what is belong to God is belong to us. Okay, verse 27. Matthew 16:27.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Now here it says, when Jesus Christ comes with the glory of his Father with his angel, then he shall reward everyone according to his work. So the Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming with his reward. There are so many rewards we have, and there are at least 5 different crowns we are going to get. So Jesus Christ says, I'm coming. And when the Word of God says, when he comes with the many crowns. And so the Word of God says, when he comes, he has for everyone a reward. And so many people are confused about this. Some people say, oh, we'll get our reward in a bema seat of Christ in heaven. And some people do not know where we're going to get reward. He says, I'm coming to this earth. When I'm coming, I bring my reward with me and I'll give my reward. Let's read the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
See here, the same thing is saying. I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. And when I come, I'll give it to you. In a 1,000-year reign, all the believers, the bride of Christ, we have so many different kinds of job to do. So we will be ruling. Somebody might be governor, somebody might be mayor, somebody might be a king, and all kinds of things we have to do. So he will do accordingly, just like the man gave a talent to everybody, and somebody made 10, and somebody made 5, and somebody didn't do anything. And so he says, according to what you did for me, I have rewards for you. And I will give record accordingly, and I'm coming quickly. And somebody says, we didn't know who I am coming means. Verse 13 says, who is he?
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha and I am Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. So Jesus Christ is the one who has authority to give us gifts, give us all rewards. So somebody said, I don't need any reward. Well, if you don't need any reward, that's too bad. I want everyone to get something, right? Now I will tell you, even though you want it, if you don't want it, you will get one crown at least. What is that crown? The crown of righteousness. Now that crown is given to the people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, and with his blood we are righteous. So all the believers who are righteous, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will get one crown. So don't think that you are not going to get anything. Everyone will have something. Now here we see Jesus Christ is bringing his reward, and he is going to give it to each and every one of us. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28.
Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now when you read this thing, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. And he says, some of you are standing here. you will not die until the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So somebody would have thought, we are not going to die. Maybe some people will die and some people will never die. So now somebody will say, okay, these people are not going to die and they are going to be in the kingdom of God. And so there was a one person was not going to make it, and then you know who that person was, Judas. But that is not the meaning coming in here, because he is saying, all of you standing. And now there are so many scholars, they goofed in this. If you read 17th chapter, but we are going to read that next week. But I'm going to give you the similar example in 2-3 books. Luke says, chapter 9, verse 27, please read.
But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God.
Now see, here is saying, kingdom of God. Matthew said, Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, and he says, the kingdom of God. Now, when you read a little bit further, what happened when Jesus Christ said this, he took them to the mountain. And then his face changed like an angel or the Son of God. And then Peter didn't say, nobody said, but the scholars are saying, oh, that was Jesus Christ was saying, that they are going to see the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ's face turned like a Son of God. And that was he was talking about. If that was he was talking about, then at that particular time, nobody died. Please read. How many days before, after this happened?
And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray.
See what happened? When he said that you people are standing here, but some of you are not going to die until you see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Son of God, you will be still alive. And he says, after that, 7-8 days later, he took them on the mountain. At that time, all the disciples were alive. Nobody died, right? So you cannot compare. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. But most of the scholars, I heard up to now, they will be saying, this is what Jesus Christ was saying. But let's read the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Now see here he's saying, now you compare these three sayings. Matthew saying, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Luke says, the kingdom of God. Mark says, the kingdom of God come with power. Now see, three people said three different ways, but the one thing is kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has to come with power. Now, here also, if you read the second verse, he took them in a mountain. Okay.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves.
Point I'm making, this is what the people believe. When transfiguration on the mountain, that was the kingdom of God coming with power. If I believe that, only one thing is missing. Nobody was dead. And so Jesus Christ says, somebody is going to die when they see the kingdom of God coming in power. Now, the kingdom of God is like a threefold. First thing, Jesus Christ came, and when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, what happened? The kingdom of God starts in your heart. And in the day of Pentecost, what happened? When you read how the Holy Spirit came,
and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Here we see the kingdom of God coming with a power. So each and everyone felt the kingdom of God coming. And then what happened? These people were able to witness about the kingdom of God. But who was not there? The Judah was dead. Because Judah could not see this mighty hand of God coming with the power, and the people are witnessing of the kingdom of God to the whole world, and Judah was not there. So Jesus Christ was saying, the kingdom of God is coming, and you will be in that kingdom, but the one person will not be there at that particular time. Now, if somebody says different way, that Judah will not be in the kingdom of God, and all the disciples will be in the kingdom of God, then that's okay too. But you cannot take that as the transfiguration of Christ, as the kingdom of God came with the power. If you take that, then Judah was still alive. Nobody was dead. So you cannot take it that way. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ already told these people that, first of all, he says, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come. He will abide in you. And then you will be my witnesses. And then St. John chapter 14, verse 23, he says, I will come and I will bring my Father also with me. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See, Father and Son, together they will come and make home. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. So what do we get? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dynamic power lives in us. And so we are in the kingdom of God right now. And then what happens? Then who has the kingdom of God in them? They are the one who will be in the millennium kingdom. And those are the people who are in the millennium kingdom. They will be in eternal kingdom. And so if you miss Christ, and you don't have the kingdom of God dwelling in you, you cannot be in millennium, and you cannot be in eternal kingdom. And so Judah lost all of these things, but thank God, we didn't do anything great job like Peter and John and Paul, but we have the same blessings. So we will be with Christ. He promised, a few minutes ago we studied, he says, if you follow me, if you serve me, you will have eternal life, and you will have, my Father will honor you, and you will be with me always. So we got a triple blessings. We got the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, living in this world in his kingdom, living in millennium kingdom, and living in eternal kingdom. So we are the blessed people. Shall we rise? We are going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us grace to understand the word and pass it on to somebody so they can learn. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay, now please be seated.